Hey, welcome to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Friday, what is today, Luke? September 29th?
Yes,
28th? It is. 29th. Man, it's almost October. Have Luke Schwartz with us today, WCTI 12's own Luke Schwartz. You and Brian North are the team now, the sportscasting team.
Yeah.
Welcome to the area, man.
I appreciate it. Everybody's been so nice and welcomed us with, or myself, with open arms, and I just couldn't be happier to be in a great place.
Well, people in this area, they love their high school football especially. They love the Pirates, everything Eastern North Carolina, the Wood Ducks, and you've done a great job of covering them.
Well, I appreciate it. It's been great having an opportunity to cover a lot of different teams and different games and meet different people, and that's the best part, is telling stories and going to different spots.
And speaking of stories, Brian North is a font of information for stories. Some true. So, you know, he'll give you a ton of – he knows just about every high school in the area, just about verbatim, their coaches. We used to have a thing in Onslow County called the it was a preseason jamboree, and Brian was the MC for the coaches thing they would have early in the week. And, man, you get up there with no note cards or anything, and all of a sudden start asking coaches about rattling off stats and things that just, you know, are in his head. And you'll be like that after you've been here 30 years also.
That's true. You know, my last name is Schwartz, so if you've ever seen Spaceballs, you know
May the
that,
Schwartz be
May
with
the
you,
Schwartz
yes.
be with you. So he always calls me, like, his young Jedi, or may the Force be with you. And what I always say about Brian is that he's kind of the Yoda to my Luke, because he's been the greatest mentor and a leader, and he just is so wise in sports. And, yeah, he really just has a knowledge for everything ENC. There's not a question I've asked that he hasn't known the answer to. I have yet to stump that man.
Yeah, he knows it now. And I picture you more like Obi-Wan. like Obi-Wan, Luke will be sitting there, you know, just minding his own business. All of a sudden, here comes that voice, Luke. So, you know, there's Brian being Obi-Wan, or, you know, Yoda, either one, to his young Jedi. But I'm sure you get the Luke, you know, the jokes, the Schwartz be with you all the time. You said, when we were talking out in the parking lot, you said you even have a shirt.
Yeah. You're
embracing that, may the Schwartz be with you.
Man, I was a kid, and I think I was about 5 years old. It was a gray sweatshirt with the Star Wars font. It said, may the Schwartz be with you. And so I wore that all around in public. I think my parents still have that in our attic somewhere.
And even, you're 23 years old, you said. So even 18 years ago when you were five. This is how about that mask over there? So even back then, you could find that shirt. Nowadays, you just go online and you can find anything.
Oh, that's true.
You can make your own if you want to. But back then, that was a good find to find that shirt.
Yeah, I'm not sure where my parents got it from, but it was certainly a treasure. And I remember, I think, just distant memories of people coming up to my parents, you know, making jokes about it. But all in good fun, though.
Well, the old Mel Brooks spoofs that he used to do, Spaceballs. Have you ever seen Blazing Saddles?
Yep.
Oh, my gosh. The things that they said, and the things that they were said about stereotypes, things like that, but they were all said in fun and not in a way like harmful, like, you know, some people take it. And that's what the society needs. Everybody just needs to be Americans and embrace your differences and make fun of them and joke with each other. And I remember we played back, this is going back to the 1900s now, the 20th century, when I was playing in the mid 80s, man, the locker room, kids nowadays couldn't handle that locker room because nothing was off limits. But we joked about each other, but we loved each other and took care of each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's just the way it was. So that's my soapbox for that. Before we go any further, let me hit our sponsors here. Sports Talk is powered by National Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Wismart, Chappie's Chicken, and Great Gas Heating and Air, Bayshore Animal Hospital, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Lane and Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air, Jones Lonsdale EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Southern Touch Painting, Fountain Management, and the Law Offices of John Drew Warlick. Also, Downey Seating Air sponsors now our Hurricanes Watch. They did our Woody's Roundup through the summer, and then they do the Hurricanes Watch. And I didn't realize, you know, you got minor league baseball season ended a week ago. Hurricanes hockey's already started. Preseason, they've had two games. We'll cover that in the Hurricanes Watch. And then that pretty much takes you back to Wood Duck season. So you got two sports that cover the entire year. Hockey season's a long season, man. Starts in September and ends in June, so that's probably the longest one out there. Also, check out our Sports Talk podcast online at WSME971.com and always on Facebook Live, our studio hotline. I'll give it to you later for our trivia question, but it's also 910-346-2248 if you have a burning question for Luke as we go along. And thanks to Helen's Kitchen, they're going to bring us in Normally they bring us biscuits, and Helen's Kitchen has the best breakfast biscuits, but they're stepping up a notch today.
Oh.
We're getting breakfast bowls with grits, man. Eggs, sausage, and cheese in it. Whew. So that'll be coming here shortly. We call him the Biscuit Ninja. His name is Billy Grissett. He can slip in that door and drop the biscuits off. And sometimes I don't even see him. He doesn't like to get on the air. So he does that on purpose. We call him the Biscuit Ninja because he's in and out, and we don't even know he did it. So without further ado, which always means I've just added more ado, we're going to jump into your sports journey.
Yeah.
Take us back to 23 years ago. It was a dark and stormy night when little Luke Schwartz bounded into the world.
Man, that's a long time ago.
First of all, that accent is not Hall's Run, I know. Not Hall's Run, you know, southwestern North Carolina. So I'm assuming you told me before, but tell us where you're from and everything.
So I'm from the West Coast. I always say West Coast, best coast, but the East Coast is certainly growing on me. No, not okay, California. Good. No, don't worry. I don't do so well in the sun. this humidity, too, I'm still getting used to. I'm trying out different hair products.
We'll have a tan on you by next year.
Oh, my gosh. I know. I need it. But I grew up in Portland, Oregon, and loved my time there all the way from childhood to going to college up in Spokane, Washington. But I believe my first word as a kid was ball because I was really? Playing with like a little basketball or football that my parents gave me. And I just remember the first sport that I could play was soccer and then also t-ball. And the minute I could quit soccer and play football, I did, because soccer and I are on a lifetime hiatus. So I immediately
so
dropped
the feet
it.
Don't work as well as the hands and the legs do.
No, I remember I tried out being a drummer as a kid, uh-huh. and I couldn't get it to go with the feet. So I said,
to get the one that Def Leppard, okay, do you know who Def Leppard is?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
You know their drummer years ago had a bad accident where he lost one of his arms.
Yep, just one arm.
So he has part of it where he plays with his feet. So maybe you need that, the feet part of it.
I need that, yeah. But I got into football really early, basketball, track, black belt in Taekwondo, you name it, I played it.
Were you sweating all the time?
Oh, absolutely, but I loved it. That's just how I stayed busy. That's how I made my friends and stayed connected, and I just love that aspect of working together in a team and trying to accomplish a common goal. And so I played football for 10 years, same with basketball, and then it led me to a Division III college up in Spokane, Washington, where I took off the shoulder pads and the helmet and went into the media side of it. Started interviewing players.
Tell us about that Division III school.
It was called Whitworth University, which is beautiful because it's the home of the Pirates. So I went from being a Pirate to now covering the Pirates for ECU.
I never knew they had Puget Sound Pirates.
But
are you impressed that I know where Puget Sound is?
That is. The fact that you know that it is the Puget Sound.
Geography now.
There we go. That's what I'm talking about, Chris. But I was there for 4 years. Loved my time there because there's about 2,500 kids, and the campus is almost as small as a high school. The high school I went to had about 2,200 kids. College had 2,500. So it just felt like...
So you went from a 4A big school to a... or whatever the class was.
Yeah, 6A to Division III school. Wow. But the best part was certainly the people. We used to have this sidewalk called the Hello Walk, and it was a complete loop. But if there were no people on it, it wasn't really the Hello Walk. But everybody, when you'd look up, you'd make sure to smile and say hello. And the people just made the difference there. And it was the greatest 4 years of my life because I didn't have like the equipment or the nice stuff to broadcast games. So I worked different jobs to make sure I could. And that just kind of further fueled my passion into broadcasting and connecting with athletes like I was before and getting those stories out to the people of the community.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed this in Eastern North Carolina, but every sidewalk is the Hello Sidewalk here. Most people here, you know, they'll speak to you. And you know, when I came up to you at the North Lenore game, you could probably tell I've never met a stranger. I mean, I'll just start talking, and next thing you know, we've known each other all our lives. And, you know, there's a lot of people like that here that are just a lot of friendly people here.
Yeah.
I'm sure there were, you know, in Portland, too. But is that a culture shock coming from that area?
It is, because...
Is it really dark and stormy all the time?
No. The people out in Portland and Spokane are very nice.
Well, I know the people, but the weather. Is it always a little rainy?
I call Portland the rainy city because we're used to the rain. But this past year, I was up at Syracuse, New York for grad school. And New York, you run into some people that are very hardworking, but they don't greet you in the same way. But
so they're not bubbly.
Not as bubbly as the people in ENC, but I'll tell you what. First day I got here, I went down to Midtown in New Bern, and I went into a shop called 3C's, and the ladies that were in there that own the shop, Mary, Cindy, and Denise, they gave me brochures, they gave me a tour down the street, walked me into every single shop, nice. Was like, hey, this is this restaurant, this is where you can get like your dog food and stuff.
Well, they need to put some weight on you is what they're doing. They want right. you to be like the rest of us in Eastern North Carolina with the barbecue and the stuff that's bad for you, but it's so good.
Oh, man, I know. I that's what I've been told is that the barbecue, it's not Texas. There's a different type yeah. out here.
Oh, yeah.
And it is.
But you can, now here's my take on that. I love Eastern North Carolina barbecue. I love Western barbecue. I love Western North Carolina barbecue is even different. It's yeah. just mostly the sauce. Okay. I mean, here is, you know, of course, pig barbecue instead of yeah. beef barbecue. But there's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, try the, especially the places around Greenville. Aiden, okay. If you ever get a chance, go to Bee's Barbecue in Greenville.
Bee's
It'll
Barbecue.
It'll change your life.
Okay.
But you need to get there early, about 11 to 11:30, or okay. they're sold out. They're that
Bee's
quick.
Barbecue.
Bee's Barbecue, like B with a hyphen S, or B,
okay.
Apostrophe S. Bee's
oh, I'm barbecue. Going. Don't tempt me
and
with a good time.
Of course, you got Pete Jones up there at Aiden and all kinds of options in Greenville. Even here in, you got McCall's in Goldsboro. I can put you on some Fat Boy restaurant. So, Your mentor there, Yoda, and I actually had this deal we concocted. We were going to do a thing called Friday Night Eats. Mm. And we were going to do a segment each week on a local restaurant in each market. Like where, say you're going to Kinston for a, or say you're going to LaGrange to North Lenore, which we went last week.
Yeah.
To a game. Of course, there's Sandpiper Seafood, one of the best seafood restaurants around. So we're going to do that and promote those restaurants. For a nominal fee, probably. But we were going to promote good restaurants and not... I mean, you can always go to a chain restaurant, a McDonald's or something. But when you go to these places, try and hit up the local places. Local. And Brian can tell you just as good as anybody.
No, so. Brian and food are... I told him
it's
this.
It's a love relationship with Brian, yes.
Well, it's funny. We were at an ECU game, and I said, when I have the chance to speak at your Hall of Fame induction, I'm going to always tell people that even when Brian says he's not hungry or he doesn't want something, I still get him something anyways yes. and slip it on his desk. And then a few minutes later, I just see the wrapper or it's gone.
So you've been to the Pirate Club?
I have, yeah.
You know, the ship up in the corner. And then you got the little deck there in the end zone.
Yeah.
Good food, yes.
Really? Okay.
Danielle Moran. Have you met Danielle? We've had her on the show before. She's the director of the Pirate Club up there. And yeah, she can hook you up with some good stuff.
Okay, good.
Now, how about Dakota Marshall? Have you met Dakota yet?
No, I haven't.
Former Carolina player. I'm sorry, former.
Yes, actually,
East
no,
Carolina
I did.
Player.
Yeah, I did meet
Southwest
him.
Southwest High School. So long dreadlocks. Yeah,
yep. His wife and his
successful.
Kid was there.
Oh, they're awesome, man. Dakota's very successful in the business world since he left. You know, school and graduate and everything. He was an all-conference player there at East Carolina, and he's big in the Pirate Club. So he can show you the round
yeah?
up there. Yeah.
Okay.
He's a good guy.
He'll pick out the good eats then.
Yeah. All right, now let's before we go any further, let's play a little game called Stereotypes.
Oh, God.
I know Chris is right now going, what? Okay, this is something I came up with. Before you came to Eastern North Carolina, what were some stereotypes you had heard? And don't hold back. Nothing, you know. Terrible, but what are some things you heard? Did you think you were coming to Backwater USA or something?
No, not at all. I think what I was told is just get ready for the thick Southern accent, and I think I was taken aback.
We don't have a Southern accent.
Because, you know, you see, you know, North Carolina in the name, but I've never really been to the Deep South, yeah. but I think the... You know, some of the first few people I met had a very thick accent, and so.
So you from up at Portland is like some people might.
Yeah,
say,
a little bit like that. Yeah. I think that was maybe the stereotype I got. But then when I heard somebody that you know sounded a little bit more Midwest or West Coast, it kind of surprised me. I'm going, oh, okay, so not everybody talks, you know, with a Southern accent.
And it's not just the people that are transplants that are different; it's people that have lived here all their lives. You go up to down east area. They call them the high titers, you know, talking a little bit about, you know, and that's just to that area. So the mountains, Appalachia, has a little bit of its own twang to it. So
yeah.
It's different just the people that have always been here, but North Carolina has become a melting pot. I mean, it's the place where a lot of people come now to hang out. Obviously, the beaches, and you say you're not a big beach guy.
You know, I just never had the inkling when I was back
home. You
know
they have bikinis and stuff like that out there, too, right?
I don't think I want to be caught wearing one of those.
Not you. You look.
Right. But no, I just never really had the inkling, because Seaside is about a hour and a half drive from Portland, Oregon to get to the beach. And with playing sports my whole life, I just never had that time to do it. And now that I'm out here, same with covering sports. It's it's not a 9-to-5. So
okay, well, I was really big in college. I was a political science major and went to criminal justice and all that. But I took a lot of oceanography and climatology classes. I was just big on weather.
Yeah.
Me and Les have had this conversation before. So I there's a current in the Pacific that is a lot different than the current here. It's pulling from Alaska and pulling really cold water. You've been in the water, obviously, in the Pacific.
Yeah.
It's not like the water here.
No, it
here
is
we're pulling
freezing.
From yes. We're pulling from down south.
Oh, man.
The way everything spins, so... Give it a try. You'll like the beach.
I'm excited for a little bit more warm water, because up in Washington, there's the Gorge River, and that my grandparents live like right on it. And so whenever we
that
go up there.
That just sounds like it's 12 degrees.
It's freezing cold. Yeah. You go in one way and you come out looking a different, because that cold water just turns your body inside out. It's crazy.
Good for the stimulation.
Yes.
Now, we're actually getting ready to go to break. That when that goes off, you know enough about hockey from the crack and everything. That means the Carolina Hurricanes have just scored their first goal, and we're going to take a break. All right, so we'll be right back with Luke Schwartz on Sports Talk. Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Have Luke Schwartz with us today, WCTI TV 12. What is the Fox affiliate name?
Fox?
It's Fox 8, but...
Yeah, it's Fox 8, and then it's just Eastern Carolina.
WVMO or something like that. Unfortunately, where I live in the county... the old Spectrum cable, we're getting a feed from Wilmington. So we get the Wilmington Fox station, which is nowhere near good as you guys' Fox station. And I love the way you guys cover it for both stations. I hate in the morning when at 7 o'clock we go to the ABC thing, whereas Brian and them are on for another hour on the Fox station.
Right.
So we're hoping eventually to get that fixed out. But Spectrum is just... You took two entities and combined them. When they did, you still have one cable system and another one, even though they're under the same thing. So hopefully one day they'll fix that, because I love the Fox 8 channel also. Now, when you're doing your we introduced you, but you work mostly with the Blitz, and you're a sportscaster, right?
Yeah.
So what hours do you do the sportscasting?
Which
shows?
You'll see me on when it's not an off day, which is usually Tuesday or Wednesday of the week. I always work weekends. You'll see me at our 6 o'clock, 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock show. And okay. Then the Blitz, I'll go on the set, call maybe two games. But that's Brian's zone right there.
He does all the rest of them, like the highlights?
Yeah, I mean.
How does he get that far around? Now old school Blitz, I'm going to send you a video. My cousin back in 99 was on the first Southwest team to go to a state championship game, Southwest Onzo. And he that got me back into it. Well, they had a highlight film that was basically from the Blitz. Man, back in the day, there was nowhere near as many high schools as there are now.
Mm-hmm.
And Brian almost had the full games, like especially in the playoffs, because it was limited to which teams were still playing. There was sometimes where he had every key play in the game. And now there's just so many schools, he's so limited on which ones. So is it just you and him covering the games? Or do you have some other reporters?
No, our station's been incredible in the sense that people that don't have that job description of going out and shooting games will take that Friday, that afternoon, to go cover a few. And then they come back to the station, edit, and put it into the bay so that way Brian can see in a little shot sheet. So that way, for the games, we want to include as many teams as possible and make sure everyone feels involved for the Blitz.
Instead of one game, like you said when you were in high school, instead of one game being, the whole game, like a feature game, you want to cover a little bit of everybody.
Yeah, it just makes everyone feel involved, and that doesn't matter if you're a 6-0 team and you're 6A, or if you're a real small private school and you haven't won yet. We want to make sure every team gets covered, because even if you lose the game, there might be a huge moment or something really special that happens in that game, and we want to make sure we're there and we can cover it and make sure we can show the people of the community the cool stuff that are going on the gridiron.
And with the advent of digital phones, our phones having the digital cameras now, I've recorded stuff for Brian. He says, always make sure you flip it sideways. And Les will tell you that when doing weather stuff. Never do it up and down, because if you have to put it on the air, it has those bars.
Yeah.
Always do it sideways. Flip the camera sideways. And he has me send it to him through the Facebook platform instead of texting, because it gives you a better pixel picture or something like that. So I've done a bunch for him. Like if we're going to Pender and he just... that's kind of out of the area, even though it's a Southwest team or Onslow County team playing there. I would give him some video from that, and he's put a bunch of them on over the years. Yeah,
yeah,
he gets some good plays.
I would love to see his contacts because I think he knows every single person who lives in ENC, because whenever something he might not be able to get to or just needs some help, he's got a number, and he reaches out to somebody. I remember I asked him the other day for a head coach's number from Bethel Christian because they hadn't played a game in 2 years.
Right.
And I said, do you think you have his number? And he just kind of chuckled in his seat for a second. He's like, what do you think I do all day? So,
and that's the key. And we were talking off the air about you have some, you know, you work with the Panthers, and I told you how, you know, I get some contacts at different places for tickets and things like that. I'll go to a game, and I've got a bank. Like, I've got some that start Carolina Hurricanes, Carolina Panthers, UNC Tar Heels. And you might have 20 people you dealt with for tickets over the years that you go back and forth with, things like that. And that's those relationships you establish with people that get you in the door, and they're the ones that look out for you. And you're going to have that a lot in Eastern North Carolina. You'll have people that, like me, that sent you the score the other night. I didn't send it to the other night because you forgot to text me back, remember?
Yeah.
And then Brian had you send me the number, but I sent it to you through Messenger, so you did have it. But a lot of times you're kind of limited, like you said, on the games you can do, so you might not be able to stay for the whole game. So you have those people that reach out to you and send you scores, like final scores, things like that. And that's a great network to have because that's going to make your job a lot easier.
No, I remember first day when we drove up to ECU. This is before I technically had signed my contract and was official, but I was eager, and Brian said, come with me, let's go for media days. And, I mean, every person we walked by, he was making sure he introduced me to them and made sure that I was well acquainted. He said, get to know these people because you're going to want their help, and anytime you can help them, you're going to do the same for them. And that's been the best part, is the fact that he has really made a point for me to get to know people, because he knows that this area, everybody wants to help you out, and that's just something special. And you don't
and they
want to
help, and by helping too, that puts their product out there, their school or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, everybody's eager to help.
Absolutely.
And plus, Brian is an institution, a superstar, and you will be too once more people get to know you in the area. You're both, you know, the rock stars of the Blitz world. So people
I don't know about that.
People just, you know, come to you like a fly or a gnat to a bug light. You know what I mean? They're just going to gravitate your way. So, yeah, I used to tell I worked in public safety for years. I used to tell my officers, don't just email people. Don't just text people. Let them see your face.
Yeah.
Go see them every now and then. Make those relationships to where when they see you somewhere, they recognize you. They don't recognize a text. They'll recognize it if it's coming from your phone, but they're not going to know it was you. You're obviously in a, you know, platform where your face is out there more, so they might. But always make those relationships to where you can call somebody and get something done.
Yeah, I
and that was great advice that Brian gave you on that too.
Oh no, Brian's given me great advice. I've always tried to strive where when I have an off day too, I don't want to sit in my apartment. I want to go downtown. I want to walk around, meet people, let them get to know me. And even if they don't know what I do exactly, just getting familiar and knowing people. And I kind of joke with my parents. I say, you know, I want to be like Norm from Cheers when I walk into a coffee shop or something. Right.
And I'm glad that you know what Cheers is.
Oh,
man.
I
know it's reruns, but still.
Oh, yeah. That's
impressive. When you're going to these places, if you ever have any question about a good, great place to eat or something, check with Brian or check with me, and we'll hook you up. Brian Hanks is another good one too.
Yeah, Brian's the man. He had me on his radio show a few weeks ago, and
he beat me to the punch because he's every day.
Yeah,
I'm once a week, and I was on his show this morning actually, and you know, I said, yeah, we got Luke Schwartz coming. He said, yeah, we had him a couple weeks ago. I'm like, yeah, but I can't get. I'm limited because we just do it once a week, you know. And I really like that with my retirement. I'm not being there every single day doing stuff because I have other things with the Booster Club at Southwest and other things I do. When you retire, you stay busier than you were, but it's stuff you want to do.
Yeah.
So you've got only, let's see, you know, 30 years or so before you have to worry about that. So you got time.
Right.
Now let's get back to your journey. You were at the Division III school and you got into broadcasting, and then we had to go. Tell us what you got into. Was it radio to start with?
Yeah, it was radio. We had a small radio station, and it was called Whitworth.fm. And
so it was an actual college radio station.
Yeah, it was an actual radio station. We actually used to be on the air, but then we pivoted to just online. So you just type in Whitworth.fm, and then you could listen to us 24 hours a day, and we'd have like a music feed speed bumping through throughout until a show would come on and play. But it was a Division III school, so we didn't have a show, you know, hour after hour. So you might have 5 hours and then you finally have a show. So I would, you know, sometimes take a little more time than I should have, but it helped being the general manager by my senior year. So I was able to talk about,
because we get long winded on here sometimes and I look at my watch and we normally about 10, 15 or so we're done. But sometimes, like Bob Sanders, I told you about the defensive coordinator for the Packers from a few years back that we had on, man, we could have talked for 3 hours.
Yeah.
Some of these older coaches, Ray Durham from Jacksonville, you can get on there and, man, the stories they tell are just, right? It's not just us wanting to hear, but it's the people out there that want to hear those stories. No. And they're great stuff. I mean, it was a whole different world coaching in the 80s and 90s and even the early 2000s than it is now. It's just everything now is huddle and digital. And, you know, you didn't have to Saturday morning, you know, before a playoff game, drive to Burlington to meet a guy from the mountains to exchange game film. You know what I mean? They used to have to do that, the VHS tapes. And so it's just a different thing, a different fraternity now, but it's a lot easier, obviously, with technology.
Yeah, I mean, stories, it's crazy. You sit there and you go, where did the time go? Because a good story really captivates an audience, and you just can't beat it. But
so how did you like doing the radio gig?
I loved it. I mean, I was in Whitworth FM for 4 years and, you know, moved my way up from just a student, a part of it. Then I was the sports director, and then I was the GM and sports director for it. And that just got me connected with the sports department that ran our, you know, athletics. And so I was able to broadcast games. But that inkling, you know, at the Division III level, I didn't really ever have anybody that, you know, knew this stuff really well that could mentor me to a point where I felt like I could be successful as a full-time job. So I applied to a bunch of grad schools for sports broadcasting, and my top choice was Syracuse University. And I actually early applied my junior year, never heard back, and I thought, well, shoot, I'm going to have to start looking for somewhere else. Yeah. But they said, we actually don't accept early. You're going to have to wait until like the few months prior to when you would be able to start. So I actually waited on that application for about a year and a half. And then I finally heard back, I think it was March 1st, and I got in. And I still remember the moment. I was blending a shake at the moment. It was 8 a.m. in the morning, and I had four roommates at the time, and I screamed out loud. And my roommate Darius came out and said, "What in the heck are you doing screaming at 8 a.m. in the morning?" He did. Yeah. He did. But I said, "I got into Syracuse." He's like, "All right, I can't be mad."
The Q, man.
So I headed up to snowy, cold Syracuse, New York.
So you were actually there. It wasn't an online type.
No, I drove across the country actually too. And
okay, now before you go any further, this reminds me of a movie. You ever seen the movie Private Parts?
No.
The Howard Stern story?
Mm-mm.
You need to see that movie. Him and that old beat up Dodge Dart with that little U-Haul moving thing behind him. That's what reminds me of you going back and forth.
Oh, man.
You need to check that out sometime. It's because you know, of course, who Howard Stern is.
Yeah.
But he started at this local like college thing, just like you. And next thing you know, he's the best DJ in America. So, maybe not the best, but the most popular.
Yeah, very well known.
He's a little different, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah.
I don't foresee you doing that, you know, down the road being more of a shock job. But anyway, that reminds me of that. So you go all the way to Syracuse now. Were you there just 1 year or was it longer than that?
Yeah, the cool part about Syracuse is that the other programs I got into, DePaul, Arizona State, and Quinnipiac, they were all two-year programs, whereas for Syracuse it was 1 year. It was 13 months. So wow. I said, well, I pay less, and they are the number one school in the nation for the program I wanted to go for. So I got great advice from guys like Bob Costas, Mike Tirico, Sean McDonough,
so you
Dave
talk
Pash.
To these people?
Yeah, they came and they visited because they were students at one point in the 80s.
Yeah.
And Tony Caridi, the voice of West Virginia football, he came and spoke. Just hearing from those guys and asking them questions like, what would you do in my shoes at this age? Or what's the best piece of advice? Or what mistakes did you make? And just hearing the way that I could be very similar to them made me feel like this was possible, that I could do this for a career. And just had a lot of fun at Syracuse because just had opportunities to broadcast ACC Network games on ESPN Plus and host post, pregame, and halftime shows on ACC Network, and just worked my way up and just continued to just drive and just stay hungry.
Now, did you ever meet Ariel, who came from WCTI 12, while you were up there? Because she is big with Syracuse, and you know, she used to work with Brian also, and then she moved up. Now she's way up there. She's called the Prop Queen. I don't know if he's told you about
it. Yeah, no, she's working MLB Network, and she's really impressive.
I didn't know if you had encountered her in Syracuse at any time, because she's a big Orange fan.
She actually was a former student. So before Brett Kennedy, she was the last sports anchor with Brian, and then Brett was here the last 4 years until myself. And so when I got the job and Brian posted it to Facebook, she reached out and said, let me know if you need anything or if you need me to basically break down as an interpreter what Brian means when he says things. And so she's like, I'm a Brian interpreter. But no, she's doing some incredible things, but it's really cool to see that one Orange has already come through here, and now here comes another.
Yeah, that's awesome, because she's definitely had a meteoric rise there. Sorry, I was trying to take a break before that sneeze. We're going to take a quick break and be right back on Sports Talk. Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. We have Luke Schwartz with us from WCTI TV 12, Fox News 8, new sports anchor, sportscaster, Blitz guy. Most people, they love the Blitz, so that's what you're going to be associated with more than anything. They'll probably watch, you know, the sports most evenings and everything, but the Blitz, they're going to mostly be there every week.
Hey, it's Hollywood.
Hey, Hollywood.
Hey, that's my radio name. I've been around a long time. I'm 49 now, and I'm 48. Well, I'm jumping ahead, but I've been on the radio since I was like 18. But anyway, somebody that loves the Blitz, I got to mention this real quick, is the owner of this radio station, one of the owners, Ashley Mosley. I mean, we'll be at the football game. Because he comes, helps call the game, does his thing. And he's like, you ready to go? Got to pack up. Got to get home for the Blitz.
Got to see the Blitz.
I got to get home. I'm going to miss the Blitz. I mean, every single time.
Now, do you still do the intros for the Blitz? Like we have a player or a coach or somebody.
Yep.
You know, tonight on the Blitz or whatever, you know. Okay. I've done it two or three times. Brian had me and Tim Foster. I thought Tim might be with us today. Tim said he might come in today, but he may have got tied up at school. But his son, Cameron, was just a kid then, and we did the intro for the Southwest East Duplin game 1 year. And Cameron still got it on his phone. He'll send it every year for East Duplin Week, you know, to me. But it's so cool the way you get some of those players. Now, I've got a gem for you. He's our JV coach now at Southwest, Zach Garvey. I don't know if you met him or not yet. But he's you guys don't cover the JV games yet. So he did it as a player, and his was really good because he's one of those that, yeah, there's no filter. It's just he's wide open. He's not one – hey, welcome to WCTI. This is the, you know, he was like, it was just, it
fired
was
up.
Yeah, it was good. So I'll send that one to you to show you. When you see it, it'll be on like a round picture screen.
Yeah.
Because I recorded it years ago off of an old TV before everything went flat screen. That's how long ago it's been. I know. I'm showing my age. Young whippersnapper. So you were doing the radio stuff, and then you went to Syracuse. After you get your master's, what opened up? Tell us about the thing with the Panthers that opened up.
Oh, so we were told at Syracuse that we could apply for an NFL internship, which we would cover training camp for 6 weeks with one of five teams, the Panthers, the Green Bay Packers, New England Patriots, Indianapolis Colts, or the Washington Commanders. And you would...
The Redskins, I'm sorry.
Right, I know. You put your top five down for where you'd want to go, and I just wanted to be in Charlotte. I thought that was the best spot to be.
Snowy Lambeau Field?
I wasn't feeling Green Bay. I didn't think too highly. I mean, you never know. I wanted something, but I did put number one as Charlotte. Wow. And I was fortunate enough to get it, and they paired two people. So another student of mine, we went, and luckily – another big reason why I wanted to go too is because being a college student, you're somewhat broke. So ramen noodles and, you know, water from the sink, you know. So
been there, man.
So she actually lived in Charlotte, and she was only like a 45-minute drive from Wofford College, which is where training camp was. So her family was very nice and allowed me to stay there for
free.
That's
awesome.
Yeah, so for 6 weeks, didn't have to pay rent for the first time in who knows how long. So I was very happy about that. And so covered the Panthers for 6 weeks down at Wofford, and that was quite the amazing experience, seeing all the media members flock and seeing Bryce Young for the first time walk onto the field, hearing from Frank Reich and getting up close.
Now, how tall are you?
I'm 6'2".
Okay, so you're about 6 inches taller than Bryce Young. I mean, he's that little looking at him on camera. I saw him out there with the team captain's first game, and he is tiny.
You know,
very petite.
When he's standing next to some offensive linemen, he definitely looks a little bit smaller. But next to me, he just looks like, you know, a football player. Yeah, and so he's got that muscle, and he's got that build that you can tell that he's a guy that has been playing for a long time and continues to stay in shape and eat well.
Oh, yeah. Now, you're still in good shape and everything. Eventually, you'll get like me and Brian. Those foods that you're going to be eating in Eastern North Carolina, you'll look like me and Brian one day.
You'll
have the scraggly beard and the... You'll be that sports cash one day. I hope you stay in the area that long to do that. Now, I know you may have, you know, other places you want to go, but now, is it? You said you had a contract. Is it a certain time you'll be here that you know of?
Well,
or is it not really like that?
Well, no, it is. I'm here for 2 years for sure. When that contract gets up, you know, it's up to the station too if they would like to re-sign or not, depending on how well I do. But my parents do ask me that a lot. They're like, you know, what are you thinking next? And I yesterday was actually 1 month on the job officially, and I said, you know, I love it here. I'm taking it one day at a time, and I love the people here. I don't even want to think about 2 years from now. I just want to think about, you know, the next game, the next opportunity, the next interview, because I'm just hungry to chomp at the bit and just share people's stories and make sure that, you know, everybody's heard, and using sports as the channel I can, you know, inform and inspire.
That's awesome, too, because I could see you hanging around a while. Now, I don't think Brian North, when he first came here, thought he would be here as long as he's been. But, you know, he came here, eventually got hitched. He got married a little later.
Yeah.
He got kids later, and he's loved it. So we hope to have you for a long time.
Well, I appreciate that. I just really love it here.
That's great. That thing means that the Carolina Hurricanes have scored yet another goal. So we're going to take our next break, and we'll be right back on Sports Talk. The awesome sounds of the German supergroup Scorpions. Rock you like a hurricane. That can only mean one thing, folks. Hockey season is back, baby. If you've been to a Carolina Hurricanes hockey game, every year I've ever gone, they've come out to that song, and it never gets old, man. That just the guitar licks, and it's just a great song. Obviously, Rock You Like a Hurricane, it fits for them. You say you're not a huge hockey fan. You've been to some, though, right? Or not, haven't been to some, but you followed the Kraken a little bit up there in Seattle.
Yeah, you know, funny enough, the only hockey game I've ever been to was a Syracuse women's hockey game. And
that's interesting.
Yeah, and funny enough, I had never really covered hockey. I had just recently started getting into the Kraken. And
that sounds funny. Sorry. Crack is a big jug of rum too.
Oh no, Seattle, the hockey
just
team.
Just get into the Kraken.
But our basically boss, who would assign us different events that we could work, reached out and said, "Hey, Luke, I think you'd be great for doing a sideline reporting at a hockey game because they're honoring the team from last year with a ring ceremony because they won their conference last year." And I said, "This sounds great. Thank you. I have zero hockey knowledge." He said, "You should be fine. You mostly will just have to ask questions about the team and what it was like last year." And I still remember being shown a clip before I went live because there was an SNL skit where they had Chance the Rapper fill in for the usual hockey guy, and he was the basketball guy, and they're like, "What are you seeing down there?" He's like, "It's really cold. Other than that, they're skating really fast, and I've seen a few goals out there," and that's how I felt being out on
the
ice.
In the middle of this huge fight, a hockey game broke out.
Yeah.
That's Ashley Mosley's favorite joke. I went to a big fight the other night, and a hockey game broke out. Well, the Canes have started out. We have got to get you to a game. Now, I want to get Brian to go, too, but I know it's difficult with him, with kids and everything now, that late-night games. But we got to do a game because I think you'd be one of those that could get hooked on it, especially live. And it's one of the most up-speed, up-tempo games ever. I mean, it's just constant action all the time. But Canes have started out. Preseason's actually started Tuesday and this past Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tuesday night, they beat Tampa Bay, who's always been a good team, 5-2. Florida, last year had a great year. They beat them 4-1. Granted, it's preseason. I understand that. This was actually a Chris Rayner original. Preseason football or hockey or whatever, preseason is like going to the prom with your sister. You may have a good time, but there's really nothing going to happen. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't count. I mean, preseason, I've had people off for preseason Panthers games. I'm like, I'm good. I'm not driving 5 hours to Charlotte for to see the starters, you know, two series and then be done with it. Now, the Canes will play again tonight, actually. They play Florida again. And then the regular season will start the week after that. Let me see if I can get this to load real quick. Sometimes my internet's not. There it goes. They're in the preseason now, but the first game is October 11th against Ottawa at home. So that'd be a good one to start off the season with. They play, good Lord, 80 games or so regular season. It's not like baseball. It's hard to believe baseball plays 162 games. That's just mind-boggling. I mean, the wear and tear, you know.
And we're what, a few days away from wild card games.
From the best time of baseball season.
When my
people
Mariners
slug through the regular season to get to October, you know what I mean? Oh, the Biscuit Ninja has come in. We're going to call him the Bowl Ninja today because you have those breakfast bowls. Thank you, Billy. We appreciate it, man.
We'll dive
into those jokers here shortly. We'll put a little weight on you before you leave, so we'll get you going. By the way, we do have Luke Schwartz with us today, WCTI 12. Would you call yourself news or sports anchor or sports caster? What's your title?
You know, my business card says sports anchor, so I'll roll with that.
And Blitz guy extraordinaire, because that's what people love in Eastern North Carolina. There's other ones that do the high school, and I hate to play favorites, but I call it like I see it. There's others that do the highlight shows, but man, you guys have them covered. I mean, it's just by far the best in Eastern North Carolina, and a lot of people love it. It's an institution, basically. I mean, nobody else has the Blitz. They may have Football Friday or, you know, Friday Night Lights, whatever you want to call it, but it's not the Blitz.
Well, that's all Brian. I mean, I've adopted it since coming here, but that man.
Oh, no, man. I'm going to give you credit where credit's due. I first saw you in the North Lenoir game, and I'm sitting there in pregame. I'm sitting there. That joker is filming everything. You'd go over and film the logo. You'd film the thing in the end zone. You did the, you know, the color guard. And I'm like, that's impressive. You're getting a little bit of everything. And then, you know, you edit it and you can only use certain things.
Right.
But you had the bases covered, man. I was very impressed.
I appreciate that.
So keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We're going to transition right into, by the way, our Hurricanes Watch was sponsored by Downey's Heating and Air. They did the Woody's Roundup. And, of course, the Wood Ducks finished in second place in the Carolina League. They won their Carolina Division, North Division, and then, you know, finished second in the overall thing. But that's a great season for them.
Yeah.
And we've talked about before, you know baseball pretty well. In the minor leagues, when you win the first half, you're probably at a disadvantage in the playoffs to the team that won the second half because they don't lose all those players.
Mm-hmm.
First half, you've lost your players, and, you know, it is what it is. So they had a great year, and thank you to Downey's Heating Air and Jason Humphrey. Now, Jason would always give us box seats from his box there, the Wood Ducks games, to give away. So I'm thinking now that he's, you know, sponsoring the Hurricanes Watch, he might have to get him some Hurricanes box seats. I'll talk to Jason about that. All right, we're going to do this day in sports. This is September 29th. You got your list there in front of you. Before we do that, I want to do our trivia question real quick. This is for a Golden Corral gift card, and our studio hotline is 910-346-2248. 910-346-2248. Put that number on your phone. And if you know this question, I will make it fairly easy. In 1977, this boxer, who was also formerly known as Cassius Clay, beat Ernie Shavers by unanimous decision over 15 rounds in New York City for the WBA,
wow,
WBC, and the Ring heavyweight boxing titles.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough to come up with that name. A lot of people consider him the greatest ever, you know? And he considers himself the greatest ever. So if you can come up with former name Cassius Clay that beat Ernie Shavers to win that boxing title, if you can come up with that, you will win the prize, a Golden Crowd gift card, and the number is 910-346-2248. So a little delay maybe on the podcast and everything, so we'll wait for callers to call in. While we're doing that, though, we're going to start doing this day in sports. That didn't take long, did it? Even with the delay there, Johnny on the spot. And we'll get the, I hear my voice now. Caller, who we got with us today?
You got Danny.
Danny, do you happen to know who former boxer Cassius Clay was, but now he's a different name, that won the WBA, WBC boxing title in 1977?
Well, let's see now. This is hard. I believe it's Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali. We'll go with that. Good job.
Muhammad Ali.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for knowing your sports and for listening to The Blitz. You're on with Luke Schwartz today from WCTI 12. You're one of the first guests we've had to talk to him. So I know you watch the Blitz. I know you well, and you see the Blitz and the good job him and Brian do, haven't you?
Yeah. Tell Luke to keep up the good work.
All right. And you're a diehard high school football fan, so make sure you get out and see a game tonight.
And I can't yet.
All right. Take care, then. Thank you for calling.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. Thank you for calling, Danny. Have a good one. All right. We're going to jump right into This Day in Sports. September 29th, all this stuff happened in September 29th. This may go back the farthest of any I've ever seen. I'll do the first one. In 1793, that was even before Brian North's time, tennis was first mentioned as an English sporting magazine. Who keeps up with that? In 1793, most sports weren't even on the radar then. All right, Lou, we'll get you to do the next one.
All right. 1920, Yankee slugger Babe Ruth sets then MLB home run season record at 54 with a ninth-inning shot off Dave Keefe in New York's 7-3 win at the Philadelphia A's.
Hollywood.
Let's see, 1923, PGA Championship men's golf, Pelham Golf Course, defending champion Gene Sarazen beats Walter Hagen in 38 holes for third of his 7 major titles.
A lot of these are way back. This is one of my favorite boxers. In 1941, Joe Louis TKOs Luke Nova in six for the heavyweight boxing title. Have you ever seen the movie Coming to America?
Mm-hmm.
The barbershop guy saw, yeah. Joe Louis was 137 years old. Fought Mike Tyson. All right, so you got the next one there.
1954, Willie Mays famous over-the-shoulder catch of Vic Wertz's 460 drive during Game 1 of the World Series.
Have you ever seen that catch in
yes.
video? That
yep.
is one of the most iconic catches, one of the most iconic sports videos of all time.
All time.
And you still call it a Willie Mays catch if
yeah.
he catches it over the shoulder.
Let's see, 1969, Steve O'Neill of the New York Jets kicks the longest NFL punt 98 yards versus Denver.
All right, now my arithmetic might not be the best in the world, but that's going to be really hard to break because you have to punt from – they would count the line of scrimmage from the one. Even if you're punting from the back of your end zone, it's going to count. The longest you could punt is 99 yards. No, wait a minute. I guess from one to one would be 98 yards, right?
Mm.
So you can't have a 99-yard punt.
Yeah.
Okay. He's not going to be broken. And how do you punt the ball 98 yards? In your heyday as an athlete, could you punt it 98 yards?
No.
Maybe an end over end that rolled forever, apparently?
Maybe.
I'm sure this was not all in the air. He got a significant roll out of it. That's still pretty impressive.
Right.
All right. In 1974, New York City Marathon, Norbert Sander wins the men's race in, I'm going with 2 hours and 26 minutes and 30 seconds. Does that sound right? And Catherine Switzer takes the women's event in 3 hours, 7 minutes, and 29 seconds. Go ahead and read that next one anyway.
Why not? 1977, Muhammad Ali beats Ernie Shavers by unanimous decision over 15 rounds in New York City for WBA, WBC, and the Ring heavyweight boxing titles.
All right. And wow. I'm sorry, Hollywood.
Oh, yeah, 1985, Houston quarterback Warren Moon sacked NFL tying record 12 times by the Cowboys.
In one game. Wow. I'd be looking for a new offensive line. In 1987, one of my favorite baseball players, New York Yankee Don Mattingly, hits his record 6th Grand Slam of the year. So just in Grand Slams, he had 24 RBIs for his yearly total.
Wow.
Now, crazy. You were a baseball guy too, right?
As Dave Niehaus used to say for the Seattle Mariners, get out the rye bread and salami, Grandma. Or no, get out the rye bread and mustard, Grandma. We got a grand salami.
Grand salami.
Grand salami.
All right, you can get our last one there.
All right, 1988, American sprinter Florence Griffith Joyner sets women's 200-meter world record at a time of 21.34, complete sprint double at the Seoul Olympics.
All right, that was 21 seconds for her. What would you do your 200-meter run in?
I think the best I ever got was about 28 seconds.
Wow, that's impressive.
I was more of a 400 runner. I was the anchor in 4x4, and I also did high jump, though I was not good. I just enjoyed doing it.
Now, I used to have a souped-up Mustang. I think I could do it in about 15 seconds in
there
that Mustang,
go.
But not on foot. We want to look at our games tonight. We're going to jump right into high school. Tell everybody where you're going to be while I'm looking this up real quick.
Well, I mentioned this before, but Brian, every Friday it's kind of like Christmas, where under the tree the present is where you're going.
Uh-huh.
So once I leave,
so you don't know other than the one you talked about.
Yeah. So I knew I was going to a 4 o'clock game today, but other than that, no, it's kind of a surprise, and so I get to wait and open up the gift when I get to the station. That's awesome. So. I'm excited to see what games, but I'll probably be at 3. But the minute I do know, I'll post social media and let people know.
Before the end of the year, you'll be a haggard veteran doing 5-6 games a night.
And yeah.
All the way from Currituck down to Brunswick County somewhere.
Right.
Which, if you've done any North Carolina geography, Eastern North Carolina is kind of weird because they'll use a line of longitude to separate East and North, or East and West, for the playoffs. But if you look at Eastern North Carolina, you can go be considered in the eastern part of the bracket. If you're in Leland in Brunswick County, you go further to Currituck than you would going to the mountains, just because it's that long line right up the coast, you know. Tonight's games in our area, and I'm going to get your take on these also. Croatan at White Oak. You got Croatan at 3-2 at 4-1 White Oak. We're going to do our expert picks, and I'm going to let you be one of the experts today to make our picks. Swansboro 0-5 in search of their first victory at Richlands, who is 3-2. West Carteret 3-2 at Dixon 3-2. That's all that conference that had a bye last week, because those 16 conferences, it's tough.
Yeah.
Because you have that bye week and then you only play 5 teams conference. So you're searching for 5 non-conference games.
Yeah.
And then what's even tougher to me is the 17 conferences, because you have a bye week during your conference now. And one of them is unfortunate enough, or fortunate enough, depending on how you look at it, the last week of the season, they're going to have a bye. So a lot of teams hate having that bye going into the playoffs, because you kind of lose track of some things. Now, if you're extremely good, like a top seed, like an East Duplin or something, then it would probably work out in your favor, because, you know, you're going to get a cream puff the first round anyway. the big one in Oslo County tonight is Kinston at 3-3 overall and 1-1 in the conference, at Southwest 2-4 overall and 1-1. And the reason that's so huge is because Jacksonville's not playing tonight. Jacksonville has an off date.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next week, you guys are at Havelock. Isn't that right, Chris?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Is it at Havelock, though, right?
It's at Havelock.
That's going to be a big game. Because what's your latest you've heard on the ineligible players from Newbern? Are they still waiting to see if that's going to cause the Havelock-Newbern game to be a forfeit or not?
Yeah, because the ruling from the NCHSAA is that the previous semester, you need to make sure your attendance is at least 85%.
Right.
And so the latest I heard is that they're still making a judgment, but they will still play tonight against South Central at home. So,
well, now that game is going to count no matter what, because the eligible players have been cleared out. Now, you said last semester, so that means we're going back to last year.
We're going back to last year, yes.
So there's a good chance that Havelock game could be considered a forfeit.
The first 5 games, technically, to their record before the Jacksonville game, could all be forfeited.
Right.
And they're thinking, what I heard from Brian, too, is that potentially the 4A state championship, too, because this happened last year.
Wow.
But there's not a lot of other information, but a lot of changes. Like Terrence Saxby took over the team 1 week before fall camp started.
Right.
And so
he's inherited a mess, man. And I hate it for him, because he's, from what I understand, he's doing a good job there. But he can't control what happened last semester when he wasn't there. Now, was it Grimsley that they beat, that Newbern beat? Or Dudley? I can't remember. Whoever they beat, though, I guess would be declared. I don't know how that would work, if they'd be declared state champion, or you just would have a vacant one.
Yeah, that's kind of like in that gray area right now, depending on the decision from the NCHSAA. Yeah. So. Brian and I are still waiting on that, and we'll move forward with the news after that. But it's a bummer, because you know those kids work hard, and you know they put a lot in, but it's too bad that those absences went unnoticed for so long.
Well, you hope they were unnoticed.
Yeah.
I think that was a lot of the reason with part of the – yeah, it was Grimsley. Just pulled it up from last year. They beat Greensboro Grimsley 40-28, and it's one of those teams that you know, runs the spread like most of the Western teams do. Newbern, I don't think, completed a pass the whole game. It was all run. If you were here then,
yeah.
I mean, Newbern's a predominantly run team, and a lot of Eastern North Carolina is still more run-oriented. So
they
it was
are.
Greensboro Grimsley. And when I asked you that, I didn't even think you weren't even here then.
Yeah, no.
So you wouldn't remember who it was.
But I did watch tape from the Bears last year, and, yeah, they run that triple option, but Saxby's throwing in some new passes and stuff,
yeah.
Which I grew up on an air raid offense, running the football all game would be ridiculous. You'd be fired as the head coach in Oregon.
Are you serious? Yeah. What about if you won a state championship doing it?
I mean, no. It's like my sister went to a high school called Jesuit, and they had some of the best receivers. Yeah. As a few guys went to Oregon and played, or UW, and offense through the air. Like, I remember my sophomore year, we played at Sheldon High School when Justin Herbert was still their quarterback. Wow. Before he went to Oregon and now the Chargers. So passing first, run second. That's how it goes in Oregon.
Okay, now I will get on a tangent down a rabbit hole here shortly, or sometimes. You're from the Oregon area. Wow, big win last week over Colorado. Did you see that coming, that dominating?
I mean, I just never thought that Colorado had huge wins. I don't think TCU was the best team without their star quarterback, Max Duggan, from last year. Yeah. And then you beat a measly – I can't remember who they played week two. But week three, Colorado State, you know, they're not that good either. They were 0-2 before that game, and Colorado just didn't look good in the first half and then made a great comeback. But
and Colorado State should have won that game.
Yeah, and Oregon under Dan Lanning, and it's just a good system and a great offense. I figured they were going to win, but I didn't expect 42-0 before Colorado put up their first points.
And I really like a lot of things that I'm still going to call him Coach Sanders. I'm sorry. I'm an old school guy. I love a lot of things that Coach Sanders done there. He's brought some more discipline back to it. He had a couple players that kneeled during the anthem, and he's basically told them, you know, we're not doing that here. I love a lot of the old school things he's done. I'm just not a big hype guy. You know, I love for coaches to just back it up and do it. And I think some of the kickback he's getting is because of all the hype. And then, you know, when you lose, people love to jump on somebody that has, you know, chirped a lot. That's just the way it is. So if you're going to do that, you need to be prepared for the downside too. But
and I think
he's done some really good things to bring that program was dead in the water, man.
Oh, they won one game last year. The last time I remember Colorado being good was the Pac-12 championship in 2018 when they played at Levi's Stadium and the Huskies were there. My dad and I went, and that was the year UW won, and then they went to the college football playoff and lost to Alabama.
Or not. Okay. We're going to do that. You have a commitment. You have to leave us, correct? Are you good for about 10 more minutes, you think, or you got to go? It's totally up to you. If you have to go, we're going to go and take a break and let you skedaddle.
Yeah, I can stay.
Okay. About 10 more minutes, we'll be able to wrap it up. So we're not going to take a break. We're going to finish up real quick, and I'm not going to get on any more tangents.
Let's do it.
I promise. All right, last couple of games we got. Jones Sr. at Lejeune. Jones Sr. searched their first victory. They're searching their first point. Bless their hearts.
No, they scored their first points last week.
Okay, I may have missed last week.
Yeah, so they got 8 points, and they were playing at home, Jones Senior against the Union Spartans, and I believe they lost 36-8, but they did score their first points.
Union from up the Clinton area, yes.
Yeah.
So far they've been outscored like 228-8 or something.
Yeah, it was 212-0, and then you know you add 36, so 248-8.
And then Lejeune, a bit of a resurgence. They're 1-3, and you're like, how's that a resurgence? Well, the kid threw for 9 touchdown passes in one game. That's impressive. And he's in the state record book, tied with the record. Actually, tonight, Jones at Lejeune, I could see that state record going down. I mean, 10 touchdown passes is not out of the realm for, you know, a team that's playing as well as they are. They put up numbers in every game of 20, 30 points, which was unheard of for Lejeune before this year. You weren't here last year, but they had a streak going of about 3 seasons without a win, only scored maybe 7 points here and there. So that's great that they've done that out there on the base and got that stuff rolling. Then you got Northside at 1-5 and 0-2 in the conference at Rose, which is 2-4 and 1-1. And a lot of people thought Rose would give Jackson a lot harder time than what they did. But they didn't. So anyway, that's what that is. We're going to go over our picks real quick. I'm going to roll through them, and then I want to get your picks for each game. Jerry Allen has White Oak, Richlands, Dixon, Southwest, Lejeune, and J.H. Rose. And when I say these names, these are local experts at high school football.
Yeah.
Let me throw up the air quotes. Experts at high school football, because I'm in here too, and I'm one of the bottom. Me and Brian are actually near the bottom right now. As much as we, you know, think we know about high school football, first of all, I'm never going to pick against my Stallions. So at 2-4, there's 4 losses right there. So that's hurt me. Tim Foster's got White Oak, Richlands, West Carteret, Southwest, Lejeune, and Rose. Brian North has, I love the way he always does this. He can't just put the names. He's got Okies, Lands, Pats, Horsies, Pups, and JHR. So I'll have to decipher those later. I know who they are. Bob Warlick's got White Oak, Rich Sands, West Carteret, Southwest, Lejeune, and the Rose Rampants. Our station owner, Ashley Mosley, has White Oak, Rich Sands, West Carteret, Lejeune, and J.H. Rose. And Southwest, he left them off, but he added them in. Harry Brown has White Oak, Rich Sands, West Carteret, Southwest, Lejeune, and Rose. And we just get these on record just so people know that we're not, you know, that everybody's above board on them. And then you got the four from the 2 Minute and a Six Pack podcast. You got Steve Goodson has White Oak, Lands, West Carteret, Southwest, Lejeune, and Rose. Mike Irvin has White Oak, Lands, West, Kingston, Jamaica, Lejeune, and Rose. Dave Miller has the Oak, Cats, Patriots, Ponies, Devil Pups, Rampants. And Joey Mahalchik has White Oak, Richlands, West Carteret, Southwest, Lejeune, and J.H. Rose. Now, have you met Dave Miller yet, Santa Claus, the soccer coach at Jacksonville High School and athletic director? Mm-hmm. Just had his 800th win this week. I would be remiss if we did not say that. 800 soccer wins. That's impressive. He's retiring this year, but that's impressive no matter what. Yeah, we might have to get him. Yeah, we'll do that. We can do that. And then I need to make my picks. Let's see. I've got White Oak. I'm doing them right now. So White Oak, Richlands. I'm going with Dixon over West Carteret. Stallions, baby, over Kinston. Lejeune, and then J.H. Rose. So that's all our picks. We've got everything done, so we got you freed up to go. We're going to take our last break and come back real quick. Might try to get Dave Miller on the phone about his 800th victory. But thank you so much for being with us. Anything you want to add before we go?
Just one pick. Dixon's going to beat West Carteret tonight.
I like it.
They got Kelly Davis, and when everybody picked North Duplin 2 weeks ago and they shut him down.
I picked Dixon, baby.
Josiah Hinton. That guy's going to lead their team.
Well, actually, let me get your picks on all of them. Croatan at White Oak.
White Oak.
Swansburg, Richlands.
Richlands.
West Carteret, Dixon. You got Dixon.
Dixon.
I'm Kinston at Southwest.
I want to be back on the show, so I'm going to say Stallions.
Joe Sr. at Lejeune.
Lejeune.
And Northside, you know, Northside Jacksonville, of course, at J.H. Rose.
I got to go to the Rampants.
Okay. Good call. And that's what most of them went. There's a couple variations with most of them. But make sure you tune into the Blitz tonight, man. You guys, it's a magic show y'all have on there. If you need a score or anything from Southwest, let me know. I'm sure Brian may be there too.
Appreciate it.
But we'll get it to you and do whatever we need to do. And come back sometime.
Appreciate you guys having me on to Chris Squared. Thank you guys. It's been really great. Like and
the Chris, no, that's already been taken. The Chris and Chris show. But, two Chris's or something. Anyway.
But thank you guys. Seriously, this made my morning and my day. So I'm excited to take on.
In a couple weeks, ladies, we're getting towards playoffs. We'll have you back, yeah. And we'll sort out the high school playoffs.
Hey, nice to meet you. Congratulations on the new gig.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
And Chris. As always, may the Schwartz be with you.
Let's go. Sports with Schwartz.
Take care, man. We'll be right back on Sports Talk.
Dinner.
Hey, welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm your host, Chris Rayner. Big night of high school football tonight. We've already covered all the games. Thank you so much to Luke Schwartz for being with us. I tried to get Dave Miller. I couldn't hook up with him. Couldn't get him on the phone. So we'll try and line that up for next week. Dave Miller, of course, with his 800th career victory. That is impressive. I mean, he coached girls and boys, so you know you got wins from both sides. But, man, 800 wins, when you think about the number per month or per year he has to have per season to get that number of victories, that's just awesome. What do you think about that, Hollywood?
I just think it's phenomenal.
And we know the guy.
We know.
Yeah, we know the 800. And here's the thing. I know he's ready to retire, but Dave could do another 4 years or so and get 1,000. It wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be tough to get maybe 5-6 years. I don't think he wants to do five.
I don't think he's going to do it. No.
And we talked about the games tonight. Make sure you go to there's several Onslow County games. Actually, every game is in Onslow County tonight except Northside at Rose. So you have Northside at J.H. Rose. Go up there and support your Monarchs. Eat you some barbecue somewhere. We got Croatan at White Oak. So that's probably actually record-wise the best game of the night. Well, and then you got West Carteret at Dixon. They're 3-2 and 3-2. The Croatan game, they're 3-2 and White Oak's 4-1. That game might be for the conference title for that Coastal 3A conference. Swansboro 0-5, struggling a little bit. Good luck to Coach Shea Townsend tonight to get that first win. Good luck to Coach Pat Bird. I'm going to give it both ways because Pat Bird's done a really great job at Richlands. They're 3-2 this year. They beat Southwest 2 years in a row. They got that statue, you know, erected there at the scoreboard for him for that. I'm messing with you, Pat. Then you got Kinston 3-3 and 1-1 at Southwest. Both teams 1-1 in the conference, so the team that wins that will be kind of in the middle of the pack or second or third place as far as, you know, trying to get those that playoff position. The most intriguing one to me tonight, though, is the one with the worst record. Jones Sr., 0-4, LSU, 1-3. I'm going to make the call right here.
Yep.
That kid will throw for 10 touchdown passes tonight.
What?
Yes. Or a lot of them. Let's put it that way. He'll be close to breaking the state record, which is 9, which he holds with other people. He's tied. What is his last name? I think his last name is actually Shea or something. But anyway, we'll find that out. But I think it's Connor Shea is his name.
Okay.
If I messed that up, I'm sorry. We'll correct it next week when we put him in the record book for throwing 10 touchdown passes against Jones Sr. Jones Sr. just does not have the numbers, and they're not very good.
Right.
And it's at Lejeune. It's the perfect storm. It's going to be cooler tonight. And I could see Jones actually scoring a few points to where it doesn't make it like you're piling the score up, to where, like, it's not 70-0 or something like that. You know what I mean? To where it might be like get on up to, like, where – he's got 8 or 9 touchdown passes, but it's like 50-some to 30-some or something like that. So both teams, I can see scoring more points and faster to where he has that opportunity to keep playing. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to run the score up and just get touchdown passes if you're up 70-0.
Oh, no.
So I could see it being – I could see the record falling tonight.
So let me ask you a question. How hard is it to – I mean, I just don't know. Get on to Lejeune. You know, say, let's just say.
Well, you have an arm and a leg, right? Yeah.
Let's say you're not Lejeune and your team is playing Lejeune.
Okay, you opened this can of worms.
I'm just curious,
dude. I got vilified on Facebook one time for putting this out there. That base security is paramount. That everything is secure there and keeping the evil of the world, the Al Qaeda, the ISIS, you know, all the evil forces from going on the base and causing mayhem. That is paramount, and I'll say that. And I love the, you know, the way they take care of security there.
Right.
For a football game, it's crazy. It's nuts. We went the last time Southwest played at Lejeune. I had heard about it, and so there was 3 people going to be in my car: me, my dad, and Chris Parker.
Right.
So I said, "Look, I'm going to take my lunch break at 2 p.m. I'm going to go get my pass."
Yeah.
So I went there, stood in line, got my pass. I'm the driver. They said, "You're each one of your passengers will have to have a pass." So I called my dad and I called Chris. They both went out there about 3:00, stood in line an hour, got their individual passes. I get to the gate and the guy doing security there, one of the, I don't know if it's private security now, it's gone back and forth. I think it's still like a independent security company that does it. He was talking with his buddy at the gate. You can't see unless you look on Facebook Live. He does this and waves me in and never looks at our passes. So that's frustrating to have to go through that.
Yeah.
You know, for somebody, I mean, you know, it's just trying to go see a high school football game. And then back in the day before we went and got the passes early, we've gone years before, the game's at 7:00, you know, to get there about 5:00 at the front gate because it's going to be a mess. You have this guy come out of the back doing passes, and he has the look on his face like they have at Sam's when you're, you know, the checkout lines are 12 people deep, and they have that look on his face like, well, this is odd. We might need to do something. It's not the first night they've had a high school football game out there. They know on Friday nights they should have a schedule and know that they've got a big crowd coming and make preparations.
This is miscommunication.
So once again, security is essential and is the prime objective there. You've got, I hope I don't give ISIS any ideas, but you've got so many miles of unguarded shoreline, woods, that somebody could get through. I've got news for you. They're not coming through that gate.
But you know what? Ramped up, they lock it down, man.
I understand that, but this is times when the threat rate was at the minimum, and you're just, it's ridiculous for people. And then you got people that you get to the game and they're calling you from the gate, man, my blinker weren't working or something, I can't get through the gate, can you come get me? Or not that far, but like say their registration was like, you know, expired, you know, 2 days ago or something, and then you got to go back up to the gate and get them because they won't let them in with their car. It just seems like overkill on some things. I think they ought to have a special events type thing, like any event they have out there. It's like, say they're having a huge ceremony out there promoting, you know, the birthday or, you know, the Marine Corps or something. They should know that they got a huge crowd coming.
But you know what, though? It's totally different. Like when they have the air show and stuff like that. Like say Cherry Point, they do the air show.
Well, what, I mean, why would that be different, though?
But it's different. Everybody just goes in. It's
I know that. So that's what, you've just made my point for me. So why... When you know you've got that coming on a Friday night, do you not have preparations? Okay, I'm going to get off that topic.
Let's just move. I'm sorry I even ask anything. Yeah, I was just curious.
Right now going, and I'm not a bass hater at all. Yeah. I hated trying to go to events at Camp Lejeune.
I'm sorry I asked. Okay.
Good luck to Lejeune tonight. I think that kid's going to break the record. That's going to be my call tonight. He breaks that record.
That's awesome.
That would be awesome. They had a kid years ago that broke the state rushing record. It was a game against Dixon, but I think they ended up taking it back because – when they look, they have to verify it all by video and stuff. And when they verified it for the record, some of the plays that they credited him for rushing were actually pass plays. And so he's a little down on the thing. Akilah Smith or something was his name back then. Lejeune's had some really great teams over the years. It's just their numbers, it's tough to do. But the marquee matchups tonight are going to be that Croatan at Rite Oak game, West Carter at Dixon, and then Kinston at Southwest. This is a big point in Southwest season because if they beat Kinston, then they should beat South Lenoir next week, and then it gets them to 500 where they haven't been in a while. And I'm hoping the coaching staff, you know, gets that thing turned around out there and gets Southwest back to what it should be. Next week, huge game, man. I wish we had an open date, and I have to look. Southwest may actually have an open date. I think their open date's the 14th, but if I didn't have an obligation at Southwest,
I would love to
be with you guys in Havelock. And maybe the Southwest game would get bumped up to the day before or something. Let's do it on a Thursday night.
It's a huge game.
And actually, it's at South Lenoir. Ooh, that's tempting. But, yeah, Southwest open date until October 14th. Southwest and, of course, Northside and Jackson will both play in what's called a 7-team conference. So that means you can't have every team play in. There's not enough to match up for every night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they'll have an open date, which is what Jackson was facing this week. The Cardinals probably enjoy it this time of year because you get some people healthy, especially 2 weeks before Havelock. I would take that. Two weeks of preparation.
That's nice, right?
Some coaches hate it because they feel like it gets you off schedule and your players lose track a little bit. I don't think they'll have any problem getting players amped up for Havelock. And according to Luke, hopefully that ruling will come down this week from the North Carolina High School Athletic Association to where – if they are going to declare that game a forfeit, that would make Havelock undefeated. And that game would be huge next week. It's big anyway. But if both teams are undefeated, that just puts an extra staple on it.
That's a horrible situation, man.
It is, but the thing is, it dates back to last semester. So the new coach that's there, I feel really sorry for him and his staff because they inherited a mess from the last coach that got fired and the administration got fired and all that. But people have known since last year that those players probably should have been ineligible. I don't know how you missed that. And then, I just wouldn't have played them. But maybe there was some things that they didn't know or didn't know that actually, thought bygones were done because it happened last year.
Yeah.
But those kids are not eligible for the whole first semester, which means they may be back by playoffs if they get their eligibility stuff straightened out. I don't know how that works.
Well, listen, next Friday, of course, Havelock and the Cards will be back on a regular schedule, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kickoff. Everything will be live right here with Jerry Allen, Bob Warlick, and the whole crew in the booth.
The booth.
And so it'll be a lot of fun, man. So make sure you check it out.
Yes, and if something falls through the South Lenoir game, I may be going there with y'all.
That'd be great,
just
man.
To come watch.
We'd love
that'd be a slobber knocker, man. Do the sandwiches travel on the road?
They do not. We just do that at home games.
I'll talk to Sam about that because that's a big game. I work with Sam Duran on that. Jersey Mike's one of our big sponsors, and he does a great job with them there. So that's it for today. Speaking of our sponsors, I want to hit them before we finish our last couple little things we want to talk about. National Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Wismart, Chappie's Chicken, and Great Gas Heating and Air, Bayshore Animal Hospital, Rock Creek Golf and Country Club, Golden Corral, who gave away that gift card today to Danny for being the right caller on the trivia question. He knew that Muhammad Ali was formerly Cassius Clay, of course. Bartley Insurance Services, Bill Mercer, Lane & Associates Family Dentistry, Humphrey Heating and Air, Jones Onslow EMC, your Touchstone Energy Cooperative, Southern Touch Painting, Fountain Management, and the law offices of John Drew Warlick, who on staff have one of the voices of the Cardinals, Bob Warlick. He can not only call your game for you, he can represent you in a court of law.
That's awesome. Exactly right. Yeah,
that doesn't happen for every sportscaster.
Hey, speaking of the podcast last week,
mm-hmm.
You guys, I watched a little bit of that, man. It's
good, wasn't it?
Yeah, you guys were like a little amped up, man.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of
you were amped up.
A lot of chemistry there. And then, of course, Downey's Heating and Air and Jason Humphrey for sponsoring the Hurricanes Watch now. The Woody's Roundup is gone. We won't mention it again until the spring. Hurricanes watch the rest of the year, though. Man, the Canes are going to win it all this year. And you can always check out our Sports Talk podcast online at WSME971.com and always on Facebook Live. And thanks to Helen's Kitchen and the Breakfast Bowl Ninja, Billy Grissett. Breakfast Bowl Ninja, Billy Grissett. That's a lot of B's, a lot of alliteration. Yeah, yeah. These breakfast bowls, Luke took one for him and one for Brian North, and they took another one to split, and they look delicious. We're getting ready to dive into them. Thank you for doing that for us. And that's a wrap. That's the show. Make sure you go check out a high school football game. There's five in the county tonight, five or six. So go check out and support your local team. And we will see you next week on Sports Talk. I think next week we'll have Chris Miller. He's lined up to come next week, and we'll talk more high school football. And definitely Dave Miller might be our co-host to talk about that 800th win. Congratulations, Dave. We'll see you next week on Sports Talk.
Keep it on Freedom 97.1 WSMA.